robot invasion in the skies.
The unmanned drones are above our heads, hovering above our heads, and they are firing missiles towards the Palestinian people.
The use of remote-controlled drone aircraft only adds to the mechanistic horror of the conflict between Israel and Hamas. Missiles fired at Israelis from miles away, pilotless bombers over Gaza, 21st century warfare. No need to see the whites of their eyes on The Takeaway.
All across America, this is The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji from WNYC and PRI.
Good morning. It's Friday, January 2nd. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Adora.
Good morning, everyone. Today, a preview of the confirmation hearings of President-elect Barack Obama's cabinet picks. They begin next week. The Israeli-Palestinian conflict and Iran, and a new look at the cycle of poverty. Those stories are coming up. First, these headlines.
It's day 7 of the attack on Gaza and the targeting of Hamas leaders in their homes. Civilian areas are in the target zone, and Israeli military spokesman Major Avital Lebovich blames Hamas for any Palestinian civilian deaths.
And if Hamas chooses to locate rockets in the middle of dense areas, in the middle of civilian areas, then Hamas should be accountable to the fact that they would get hurt.
West Bank-based Palestinian leader Saab Erekat says attacking Gaza solves nothing.
You don't solve political problems by military means. After the complexity, this violence will have more violence. Bullets will be more bullets.
Some 400 Palestinians have died in the attacks, along with four Israelis.
President-elect Barack Obama has made a dramatic move involving climate change. He left Hawaii for Chicago, and that's about a 50-degree shift in climate. Sunday, the Obama family heads to Washington, where the president-elect will meet with advisors on the economic stimulus plan. There's new information on the Aspen, Colorado bombing plot. Police say the man who left bombs around town was a former resident, bitter at the town's transformation into a getaway for the rich. Assistant Police Chief Bill Lynn says he intended to do more.
We believe that the suspect abandoned his plan halfway through completing it and abandoned two devices in an alley.
The suspect was later found dead in an apparent suicide.
The attack on militants in Pakistan is hotter this morning. Several militants are dead after an apparent American missile strike near the Afghan border. Attacks have stepped up lately. Investors kick off 2009 today. It's kind of a sample start to the year. You get one day to test it out, then you get the weekend to think about it, and then start anew on Monday. Wall Street opens for trading after a New Year's Day break. The Dow begins at 8776. The S&P starts over 900. It begins trading this year at 9:03, and Wall Street will open, it appears, flat this morning. So we're going to talk about economic decisions and how a chain reaction can actually trap you in things like poverty or debt. We're going to be talking about an avalanche of bad choices that can snowball with economist Dan Ariely. Tell us about a bad choice you made that you wish you could take back, or a sequence of events that started a snowball rolling down a financial hill.
And Dan actually has some suggestions on how to avoid it, as he found himself in a very precarious situation.
Dan's biggest data set is his own life. Right? Tell us your stories at 877-8-MY-TAKE or mytake@thetakeaway.org.
The Takeaway is made possible by Liberty Mutual's Responsibility Project, encouraging discussion about what it means to do the right thing. ResponsibilityProject.com.
The Takeaway is supported by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation, advancing journalistic excellence in the digital age. More information about the Foundation's digital initiatives at knightfoundation.org. And by the Alfred P. Sloan Foundation to enhance public understanding of science and technology in the modern world.
You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji.
Good morning. President-elect Barack Obama's inauguration is not until January 20th. However, the Senate will begin confirmation hearings next week for his cabinet selections. Few of them have sparked widespread controversy, and these fast-tracked confirmations reflect difficult times the country is facing in the economy and foreign affairs. For more, New York Times reporter David Herzenhorn joins us from Washington. Welcome back and good morning, David.
Good morning. How are you?
So January 8th is a big day for three nominees. Let's start with former Senate Majority Leader Tom Daschle for Secretary of Health and Human Services.
Right. Well, you know, it's a great place to start because it gives you a sense of where a lot of these hearings are headed. You know, the Senate is going to see a lot of old friends coming through or old nemesis, if you consider the Republican side. But we do expect, you know, you'll see a lot of respect accorded to former senators and sitting senators as they go through these hearings. And it'll start with Daschle, who, you know, he faces obviously first Senator Kennedy and the Health, Education, Labor, Pensions Committee, and then also the Senate Finance Committee, headed by Max Baucus, who's certainly an old friend of Daschle's.
So we would expect that it would be pretty much smooth sailing for Tom Daschle. I mean, in fact, rarely does the Senate reject a presidential cabinet nominee outright.
Well, right. I mean, there are always potential surprises, and that's what everybody will be looking for. And you know, and usually there's at least one that causes a bump in the road of some sort.
You know, maybe that one will be on January 15th Eric Holder.
We'll see. Certainly, that's the one that's most closely watched because of his role in the pardon of Mark Rich. I mean, obviously, he has a very long record in public service that folks will point to and scrutinize. So you know, that is one, you know, that's one of the more closely watched, obviously, of these upcoming hearings. But you know, I bet you know, we may yet be surprised, and we may not see, you know, we may not be able to see yet what could emerge in you know, that will just sort of cause a wrinkle there.
But there were certainly some signs. I mean, this was a hearing that was delayed. Republicans were seeking more time to review his record. There is that controversial pardon that Clinton gave to Mark Rich in the waning hours of his administration, and Eric Holder was involved with that.
Right, and there will be, you know, there will certainly be a lot of tough questioning, but as you pointed out, it's rare for a nominee to be rejected outright. So it's more likely that you would see Eric Holder face a lot of tough questioning around that pardon. You know, there's some, you know, wondering about whether Bill Clinton himself would be called, not in Holder's case, obviously, but for Hillary Clinton's confirmation hearings as Secretary of State. So we just don't know, but we'd expect he'll have a hard, you know, he'll face some tough questioning. There's no doubt about that. I mean, this calendar is not unusual either. I mean, it's just not a surprise for given lawmakers are away around the Christmas and New Year's holiday to say, look, slow down. We need a little bit of time here. We do want to ask serious questions. This isn't this isn't sort of a formality that everybody just you know, gets together for a show. They you know, these are important folks, you know, nominated for important jobs.
Well, we're going to see a couple of things. You know, we're going to see these people, you know, how do they withstand some kind of questioning, how they face the public. And so that's something we're going to see. We're also going to see, in the case of Eric Holder, a test of his loyalty to a president, even though he might have differed on the sort of policy end and how that bears on Barack Obama. But what we're not going to see, David, and correct me if I'm wrong, is a sense of how the policies in these various agencies are going to unfold. That's still, you know, the card that Barack Obama himself holds, don't you think?
Sure. I mean, look, you know, it's very hard in the span of, you know, of a few hours of questioning to get a sense of how, you know, what the management styles are going to be like, what are the different eventualities that are going to come up. I mean, who could have foreseen the questioning? You know, think of the questioning that would have been different for Hank Paulson as Treasury Secretary if anybody knew the kinds of things that he would be engaged in. And maybe now, because of that,
yeah, right,
you'll see Tim Geithner face, you know, a whole round of questioning, but again, it necessarily has to be backward looking, right? We'll understand what Tim Geithner's role has been better in the financial crisis. He's obviously worked closely with the Bush administration and the Federal Reserve, so we will learn a whole bunch of stuff. There's no doubt about that. But no, I think you're absolutely right that in terms of what the policies will be going forward, you know, these are sort of, these folks prepare, and you'll hear some artfully worded answers that don't give away too much until the new president is ready.
But I think you may be right there, David. I mean, as entertaining, potentially, and, you know, you all know what a cynic I am here, as entertaining as the Holder hearing might be, the Geithner one is probably the one to watch.
Oh, you know, in terms of where there's real, you know, there's real news to discover, there's no question. I mean, you know, Geithner has been at the center as the head of the New York Fed of so many of these decisions that have gone on amid the financial crisis. That and for that reason, you know, you might actually see some tough questioning on the Democrat side, right, for an incoming Democratic administration. But they want to know what was his role in a lot of this, and what will that mean going
forward?
Or
what has even happened? I mean, this has been a process so far that has really lacked any transparency. So certainly he's going to be asked questions on the record in a way that no one has had the opportunity to do, from lawmakers to journalists.
Right. There's no question about it.
And when you're talking about policy, obviously, when Representative Hilda Solis, who is Obama's selection for labor secretary, when she gets into the hearing, there's certainly going to be some tough questions about her support of the UAW and other labor organizations and what she sees the role of the labor secretary as.
And I do think there's one example. You know, it's not a post that's as high profile as the Treasury Secretary or the Secretary of State, but you know, one of the biggest battles looming in the new Congress is over card check, is over the proposed bill that would make union organizing easier, the Employee Free Choice Act. And so, you know, there's no question that this is, you know, Republicans, Senator Mitch McConnell, the Republican leader, has laid down a marker, you know, on that bill, telling Obama, you know, don't go there. You're off to a great start, but if you push on that front, you're really gonna tick off Republicans, and so you could see some really contentious hearings around that issue. It may not even be about her so much as about the issues that she's going to confront.
Well, you raise a good point. Forward. I mean, in some sense, the bureaucracy is sort of set up to create this division, in the sense that the financial side of the administration is probably skeptical of unions, particularly as far as the auto bailout is concerned, whereas the labor secretary really has to be something of an advocate. So the Democrats are going to have some difficulty there.
And there'll be tough questioning around all those same issues. You know, there will be some questions about how the auto bailout is managed, and labor is going to need to make some concessions. And I'd be stunned if there weren't some really tough questions for the mm-hmm. person nominated to be labor secretary about how would you handle that? What can you do? And also, look, you know, unemployment numbers, you know, are clearly on the rise. That, you know, it's a tough time on so many different fronts in public policy that it should be very interesting. I mean, you know, we don't expect too much contention, especially when you consider, you know, Hilda Solis is a congresswoman. Again, these are colleagues, right?
Right.
Senator Salazar of Colorado. You know, we don't expect he's going to face a big beating as Interior Secretary, but there are areas where, you know, there will be some careful scrutiny. For instance, Harry Reid, the Senate mm-hmm. Majority Leader, has said that, you know, he will not support an energy secretary who in any way endorses the use of Yucca Mountain in his home state of Nevada for nuclear waste storage. And I don't think we know yet where Steve Chu, the nominee, stands on that. So
like you said, there's a level of unpredictability in some of these hearings. But before we go, we would be absolutely remiss if not to ask, how do you think Senator Hillary Clinton will be received in these hearings? Very quickly.
Well, you know, I think with you know, some deference, you know, some collegiality, and that's the way she was treated in the Senate. But I bet there'll be folks who want to get some knocks in here and there.
Okay, David Herzenhorn, a pleasure as always. Thanks for joining us.
Sure, great to talk to you.
David Herzenhorn is a New York Times reporter, and he was coming to us from Washington, D.C., talking about the hearings for Barack Obama, the president-elect's cabinet picks next week.
It sounds like what we're going to hear is the sense of priorities of the Democratic Congress, that may be really the takeaway from all these hearings.
And whether these people are going to be up to the task, or at least we'll be able to make that judgment, as you say, as we watch them answer the questions.
Mm-hmm.
You can email us at mytake@thetakeaway.org or call us toll-free at 877-8-MYTAKE.
869-8253.